Yes, sir.
May it please the Court, my name is James Feldman, and it is my privilege to represent the appellant, Erwin Schiff. Mr. Schiff was deprived of his Sixth Amendment right to the effective assistance of counsel on appeal when his attorney failed to appeal the district court's granting of the in limine motion filed by the government to exclude any evidence concerning Mr. Schiff's bipolar disorder. The performance prong of the Strickland test was met in this case because counsel ignored an issue that was clearly stronger than the other issues that he raised in this case. That is the standard that the Supreme Court approved of in Smith v. Robbins when it characterized that as the holding of the Seventh Circuit case in Gray v. Greer. That standard is met in this case. Five of the six issues that the counsel on appeal raised were disposed of summarily in this Court's non-precedential memorandum disposition. The other issue, which was a good issue, dealt only with the contempt citations. The bipolar issue in this case was clearly stronger than the other ones raised. It was identical in all pertinent respects to the issue raised by co-appellant.
Well, except for the likelihood that anybody would buy it. I mean, even if the testimony was given,
yes,
given the differences in the history of Mr. Cohn and Mr. Schiff, in terms of their, I mean, as I understand it, Mr. Cohn was kind of a newcomer to all this, and Mr. Schiff had been prosecuted and jailed, I don't know how many times for,
right,
you can tell me how many times, for essentially the same set of theories.
If you talk to him, each one was entirely different, and that, you know, that's his perspective of it. But that's why this evidence was so important, because it would give the jury a reason to understand how a perfectly, well, otherwise normal individual could so doggedly hold on to beliefs in the face of overwhelming evidence of the contrary.
Can I ask you to answer Judge Berzon's question, which was basically, unlike co-defendant Cohen, with respect to your client here, there was substantial evidence introduced during trial that Schiff knew his beliefs were incorrect, that his actions were illegal, he had prior convictions and disputes with the IRS, he was hiding some of his offshore activities, going to great lengths to avoid IRS liens, and his positions had been rejected by every court that had considered them. He was in a different position than Cohen was, who was really a protege, if you will, of Mr. Schiff, newly on board to this. So doesn't that make evidence of a mental illness far less compelling?
I don't think so, Your Honor.
I don't think so. Were to ignore the particulars or the differences between the two?
The particulars make this evidence so important, because in Dr. Hayes' report, he says specifically, you know, that prior jail sentences have not shaken this individual's belief that the possibility for spending the rest of his life in prison has not shaken his belief. He believes this that strongly. His mental disorder is that
strong. That leads to a nicety about what United States versus Cheek actually held. Is the question whether first of all, Cheek seems to pull out any defenses based on constitutional invalidity. And to some degree, I understand that Schiff's arguments are based on constitutional invalidity. So to some degree, I think he doesn't come under Cheek. Does that seem right?
Well, part of his beliefs don't come under Cheek.
Right.
But others do.
Right. So that's one problem. But secondly, I'm not sure whether is what Cheek is preserving in terms of subjective knowledge, the subjective knowledge that as to whether this is illegal in the sense that it is considered illegal definitively by courts, regulators, and so on, or is somebody entitled, even when they know that every responsible person says it's illegal, to nonetheless have their own theories and say it's not illegal? I'm not sure Cheek is actually buying the second, as opposed to you really have to know the first. You have to actually know that it has been determined to be illegal.
Yeah,
but once you know it's been determined to be illegal, the fact that you continue to think it's not illegal doesn't help you. Which one is it?
I think that if someone has a subjective belief, no matter how crazy that belief might be, that his conduct is not a violation of law, he really believes it, even though a rational person would not.
Well, it's not so much what a rational – but I'm asking, even though he knows that it has been definitively determined against him with regard to his theories by multiple courts,
right.
Does that come within Sheik?
If he knew that, but he doesn't know that. I mean, that's the problem with his mental disorder. I mean, he
– Well, he knows that. He just – my understanding is he knows that. He just continues to believe everybody else is wrong and he's right.
It's not entirely that. It's partly that, Your Honor. But he also – the other cases did not involve these zero returns. I mean, that he says, well, that was something different. Now I'm accepting that, but now this is an entirely different case. I mean, that's his belief. He always finds something different.
Based on basically the same set of theories.
It's a little different. I mean, that's how he looks at it, and he believes it. I mean, he believes it with his whole heart, and he would die for it. I mean,
and then the question becomes, what about all this evidence of hiding both his own assets and the advice he gives to others, which seems to be – now, again, one could say, well, he's so convinced that he's doing that because he knows that other people think he's wrong, but he still thinks he's right, and so they don't have any right to his money. But that doesn't necessarily follow.
It's not that entirely. No, it's not that, Your Honor. It's that he believes that the IRS is not following the law when it levies bank accounts, and that banks will not follow the law. The law is that they have to wait till there's a court order, and instead the banks will.
That's not a very good explanation for taking your money abroad. If they're not following the law, then you complain about them not following the law, but you don't evade them.
But he thinks that the IRS is violating the law, and that he wants to protect his assets from the government, which is violating the law. I mean, that's how he looked at it, and he had evidence that he wanted to put on that would have supported why he believes that, but the judge wouldn't let him do that.
Why didn't he proffer Dr. Hayes' testimony during trial?
Pardon?
Why did he not proffer Dr. Hayes' testimony during trial?
Well, the reason he didn't proffer Dr. Hayes is that it was expensive to bring him in, and he thought that the judge would reject it.
To make an offer.
That's irrelevant, Your Honor, I believe. Yes, sir.
To make an offer of proof, you don't bring a witness in. You can use a witness's report. And when he was turned down, he never made an offer of proof. We have nothing in the record of what Dr. Hayes would have said.
Well, as I've argued, Your Honor, the issue that should have been brought up on appeal is the Court's granting of the in limine motion, which did not say that you can't call Dr. Hayes as a witness. It said no bipolar evidence can come in. And so
okay,
the
so
judge
the,
was saying, yes,
the lawyer made a mistake, granted.
I'm not sure
is,
what you're saying.
Is he the one that took the direct appeal or a different lawyer?
Mr. Schiff represented himself at trial.
Yes.
The lawyer who represented Mr. Schiff at sentencing represented him on appeal.
Okay. So you look at the record and you find that he never made an offer of proof, voluntarily dismissed the offer before trial. He didn't try to admit the evidence. He failed to file an expert notice. He failed to object to the government's motion to exclude.
Yes.
So the lawyer says, there's nothing here that I can take to the appellate court.
That's not entirely true, Your Honor. For one thing, he did file a notice, the 12.2b notice. He didn't talk about bipolar directly, but then later he filed another document which did say that he was going to be bringing up Dr. Hayes to talk about the bipolar, which the government took as a 12.2b notice, which is why when it filed its motion, that's why it filed its motion to exclude the evidence. And it never based that on Schiff's failing to file that notice. He was pro se. His pleading should be construed liberally. And
well,
that
I understand all that, but I'm talking about the lawyer looking at the trial and seeing if this is an issue that can take an appeal.
He saw that the co-defendant raised this issue. He could have then, looking at the record, he could see that Schiff raised this very same issue, made the argument of why it was relevant, which is why I think the issue was preserved for appeal. He could have seen all that.
Do you think it was preserved?
Oh, yes, Your Honor.
Oh, okay.
We do have in the record a report from Dr. Hayes. How did they get in the record if it wasn't proffered?
I'm sorry. I didn't hear what you said.
We do have a report from Dr. Hayes that was not in the record in the district court?
It was in the record in the district
court. So what is meant by it wasn't proffered? I mean, I assume the proffer is you would have testified to what this document says.
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor.
It was a – I think – well, never mind.
Yes. I have nothing. If I could, okay. I see my time is about up. If I could have a minute for rebuttal. If
yes, necessary. You'll have a minute for rebuttal.
Thank you. You.
May it please the Court, Mark Detterman for the United States. Jumping right into the issue that Judge Wallace brought up, although the district court entered an order, a motion in limine, that motion in limine was only talking about defendants' psychological experts, and it did not address Dr. Hayes. Now, in our brief, we show that on the first day of trial, Dr. Hayes was brought up again, and the judge said that he was open.
Yes, but the district judge had ruled definitively that there wasn't going to be any mental health.
I disagree with that, Your Honor.
Just a minute. And he kept saying, but he's not going to be able to testify to anything that goes to his mens rea. Now, if there's anything else he can testify to, as to lack of intent, if there's anything else he can testify to, I'll hear it. I'll consider it. No?
Respectfully, I disagree with your interpretation of that. I think the judge was expressing a strong inclination that he would not let the evidence in. But the final thing that the judge said is, I'm telling you, and this we have this in our brief, it's day 16, I'm telling you it's not likely I'll let him testify, so you decide. And then he says, I'll let the government take him on voir dire. And again, we don't know if Schiff really wanted to bring in Dr. Hayes because he never brought him in. Schiff merely talks about, well, he's expensive to bring him in. That's not saying that you're forbidding me to bring him in. That's saying that it's going to be expensive for me to bring him in. So I don't think it was an exclusion in this case. And if you look at the Supreme Court case we could cite, Luce, the Supreme Court says that you have to make a proffer. You have to bring in the witness if the judge, unless the judge clearly excludes it during trial.
Yeah, I'm really having a problem with your argument.
Between Cohen.
Just a minute. The judge issued an order. The government's motion to exclude evidence that defendant Schiff suffers from bipolar disorder. Neither defendant's experts explained how the alleged mental orders negate mens rea. Accordingly, is hereby ordered that government's motion to exclude evidence that defendant Schiff suffers from bipolar disorder is granted, period, the end. Why isn't that a definitive determination?
I think at the time that was, but if you look at the first day of trial where this issue comes up again, the whole issue of bipolar order comes up again. The other counsel are talking about it, saying that they may want Hayes to come in, and the judge says, well, I'm open to this. I haven't made up my mind. I'm going to reread Hayes' report, and this is during the first day of trial, and I'm going to make a decision later. And the judge clearly says that during the first day of trial. And then later during trial, we cite in our brief, the government requests that, well, if Schiff brings in Hayes, we'd like to voir dire him. We cite that. I think that was in day 2 and also on day 10 of trial. And then finally on day 16, the judge says, again, he says he's strongly inclined not to let this in, but he still says
if you
bring him in.
What was the this at that point?
Well, it's Dr. Hayes' testimony. I mean, and the only
testimony. Dr. Hayes to say something or other.
Well, it's unclear what he's, yes, it's unclear what part of Dr. Hayes' testimony he will let in, but Dr. Hayes' testimony was only related to the psychological, Mr. Schiff's psychological, mental status. I mean, there was no other testimony that would have come in from Dr. Hayes except for that. And Dr. Hayes opined that he had bipolar disorder and also that he had a rigid belief system.
But then the judge also said, I'm not going to re-argue motions that have already been decided. We're not going to do that. What we're doing is we're talking about open argument, and that's all he says. So I think, in any event, you made your argument about that.
I think at least it was arguable for a counsel not to bring up this issue, thinking that the district court had allowed him to bring him in to be voir dired by the government and that he didn't.
Do you agree with me, counsel, that we can avoid, skip over the what is or what is this, and avoid the conflict in the record with respect to whether that order was final or not? Because the ultimate proof that must be shown here under Strickland, under the second prong, is that the exclusion of this report was prejudicial to the defendant. And if the appellant does not satisfy that prong, end of story, whether it was properly preserved or not, whether he could have testified or not, you know, all those issues such as he's a pro se defendant, courts should and do provide some leniency on technical legal issues, whether he should have proffered it later on or not. Does that not resolve this case, that alone, the second prong of Strickland?
Yes, Your Honor. I agree with that. I agree that the exclusion was harmless and was much different than Cohen. Cohen was a minor participant. The panel, the initial panel, pointed out that Cohen was manipulated by Schiff and that the psychological, Cohen's psychological evidence would have shown how Cohen was susceptible to being manipulated by Schiff. Cohen was acquitted on the conspiracy charge. He was only convicted of one count of filing a false return. And this is much different from Schiff, which the initial panel characterized evidence against Schiff as overwhelming evidence that Schiff intended to deceive the government. Schiff used false tax identification numbers. He placed assets in the names of nominees. He used a warehouse bank account that's like a sort of a black market bank that keeps money but doesn't keep your name and data so the government can't track it. He moved funds offshore. He even went so far as Schiff advised clients to repeatedly say, "I believe," in order to create a cheat defense. So Schiff was very sophisticated in these means. And he also admitted at trial that he knew that every court had rejected his arguments. He was twice convicted for tax fraud. And
well,
so
what exactly do you understand cheat to be about? It's a little, I mean, this is the same question I asked before. I mean, is the question that cheat, the subjective state of mind that Sheik allows to be used as a defense, that I don't, I believe that it is an open question whether this is legal or not, or is it, despite the fact that everybody, all, every authority that's looked at it thinks that it's not legal, I can still believe it's legal?
Yes, I think your first, that Cheek says that a good faith misunderstanding of the tax law is a defense. Cheek specifically says that a disagreement with the law is not a defense. And in fact, the jury instruction in this case, which were not contested, said that a disagreement with the law, even if earnestly held, is not a defense to the charges. And that's what Cheek says, that you can't simply disagree with the law. You have to have a some type of
but,
good
but
faith.
But it's a rather fine line when you have, you know, people who are, you know, fanatic believers in something.
Yes, well,
they say, "I'm not disagreeing with the law. I'm saying, you know, every nobody can read. I can read and they can't read, and I'm right and they're wrong."
That's true, but when you start to take when you have obstructive conduct, it's simply that any psychologist's testimony that Schiff was acting in good faith would have been overcome by all the obstructive conduct.
That's a different question than the question I'm asking. And it's even possible that if somebody really, really, really believed that, you know, everybody in the world was just wrong about this, they might engage in conduct to foster their own belief, although it's a second-level issue, which is, you know, people can't, to avoid being treated illegally, but well, that becomes a civil disobedience question, as to which the usual answer is you go to jail if you're engaging in civil disobedience,
yes,
even if you believe you're right.
And actually, Blackmun, in his opinion, in his, I guess it was a dissenting and concurring opinion in Cheek, talks about that this will create people who cling to false beliefs in order to try to avoid paying taxes, that Cheek will create such a situation. And that seems to be the situation we have here. Finally, I just want to make one more point, and that is that the defendant here hasn't raised what exactly charges would be reversed because of the exclusion of the psychologist. Cohen's conviction was a Title 26 tax charge that was reversed, and good faith is a defense there. But to the 18 U.S.C. 371 conspiracy charge, good faith is not a defense to that charge. We still have to show that he intended to defraud, but you could have good faith that you owe no taxes. In fact, you could owe no taxes, and you could still set out to obstruct the IRS. And the 371 was a conspiracy to defeat and obstruct the IRS.
And there's also this other question that, as Mr. Feldman, I'm no confused now. Well, your opponent said, it is still true that at least some of his beliefs would not be protected under Cheek anyway, because they were beliefs having to do with constitutionality.
That's correct, Your Honor. I see my time's up.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could we take a brief recess after this?
Just a couple points. One is having to do with the prejudice prong of Strickland. I think it's important to remember the prejudice is shown by a reasonable probability that the outcome of the appeal would be different. This Court is not deciding what the decision in that appeal would have been. It's only the question is, is there a reasonable probability that it would have been different? And I think that we have shown that. The fact that Schiff was a leader and Cohen was a minor participant, I don't think that that really makes a difference. If Mr. Schiff's
Well, there's the obstruction behavior, and there's also this question of which is, and there's the history of his convictions, and there is also this question that at least some of what he was claiming is not protected by Cheek, so how is this going to help?
Well, because much of it is. He believes that the law is in fact
fine, but even if much of it is, he could still be convicted on each of the counts.
He could have been convicted, and as this Court noted in its opinion, Cohen could be convicted too. Cohen could have been convicted on remand as well, but that didn't mean they didn't have the right to have a defense, to bring this up. And that's the same thing we're arguing for Mr. Schiff. He has the right to present this to the jury. Let the jury decide. They may not buy it.
Okay. You're over time.
Thank you,
both of you for an interesting argument. United States v. Schiff, we're going to take a short break. Thank you.